Hey there, this is Seth Waters from Channel 9 coming to you from our beautiful Channel 9 studios. I'm here with a very special guest, someone that has probably helped you code correctly over the last 10 or so years at least.
Tell us who you are.
Is it less? It feels like it's been forever.
In 2008, and I get that a lot. So it's like 8 years of Stack Overflow now.
8 years is like 70 years in computer years.
I do get that. People tell me, I literally remember using Stack Overflow in college or whatever.
And I went in the 70s. Possible. So why don't you tell us who you are and what you do?
So I'm Joel Spolsky. I'm the co-founder of Stack Overflow. And a couple of other things. You might have heard of Trello or my blog, Joel on Software, Fog Creek Software, Fog Bugs, any number of things. But Stack Overflow is sort of my main day job right now.
Fantastic. So I thought we would get into a little bit of the story of how you came up with this, because Stack Overflow came out, but now it's become sort of like a platform, like this thing called Stack Exchange, where you can go learn about science, you can go learn about, I don't know, fixing your car and stuff like that. So why don't we start with the genesis, how you came up with this?
Start with the history. Well, the history, a lot of developers have encountered another site that existed a little bit before Stack Overflow. And there were actually a lot of them, these online discussion forums, where if you had a problem, you'd ask it.
Yeah.
And there'd be a conversation that would take place over 7 pages, and on page 6, you'd get the answer. And one of those sites, which I won't mention by name, would charge you to read the answers, even though they were also written by other programmers who were kind of contributing and not getting paid. And so that was considered a bit of a, not a beloved site
to
developers.
Cool.
Not cool.
Yes.
So we built Stack Overflow, and it was Jeff Atwood and I were the co-founders. And our idea was a couple of things, but the main one was what we realized is that, most of the people looking at that conversation were not the original participants. You know, one person asks, several people answer, and then 1,000 people do the Google search or whatever for the whatever error message they just got from their compiler, and they land on that page. And we wanted to optimize it for those 1,000 people, not for the first couple of people. So we added this voting mechanism where you could vote up the best answers, and that caused the answers at least to be sorted in decreasing order of likelihood to solve your problem, and that makes Stack Overflow, that alone, plus a bunch of other stuff, made Stack Overflow a great resource for getting answers.
So that's an awesome idea, but I've learned over the years of being a programmer that ideas are really cheap.
Yeah.
It's like the actual...
It's the execution.
that actually is... Like, ideas, everyone has good ideas.
Right, right.
So tell us a little bit about, sort of, you have this idea. How do you go to, all right, let's put this down?
Yeah. Boy, I don't know. I think, Jeff Atwood called me up. He said, I want to... He was a blogger. I was a blogger. He said, you're a blogger. I'm a blogger. I think I could make a living just selling ads on my blog. I want to quit my day job. And I said, you know what? I got a better idea than just blogging and selling ads on that. And I described to him the idea for what became Stack Overflow. And he actually liked the idea, quit his job, and went and worked on that full time. And got a lot more advertising on Stack Overflow than he ever had on his blog. So that turned out to kind of be a good thing. But he was just a great developer. Early on, I guess where it's sort of relevant to our Channel 9 audience a little bit is that he said, I've been working in Visual Basic for all these years. I'm a VB developer. And what do you think I should build Stack Overflow in? And I said, for something like this, you just use the platform that you know best. There's no need to learn a new development environment and then struggle with it. You're going to be the only person that's there to fix things in the middle of the night. When it goes wrong, use a platform that you know really well. And so he kind of took me at his word and built it on a Microsoft stack. It was SQL Server. He did use C# instead of VB.net. There's a limit now.
Yeah, of course.
But that was the way that we built it. And we really benefit from that kind of accidental decision.
And that's interesting because, in 2008, I think it was the height of Ruby on Rails and other sort of stacks that you could have used.
Yeah.
It wasn't like necessarily the coolest thing.
No, I don't know. I guess programmers don't care about being cool, or maybe I don't.
Yeah.
We don't really care that much. Uh-huh. We care about things like performance and are we going to be able to get it to work and do we know how it's supposed to work and will it do what we want it to do.
So there probably came a moment in time where you put this out and all of a sudden you're like, whoa. Because this was before cloudiness, where you're like, oh, let's just scale this up, and everything's happy. Tell us about sort of the challenges
cloudiness.
You had when you all of a sudden people were like, oh, I need this.
Yeah, we actually, so that was one of the great things about building it in C# as a compiled language and using SQL Server is that it was always easy to get the performance we needed because they were compiled languages and so the sheer CPU resources they needed were never a terrible issue for us. You know, we put big machines on and we gave them a lot of RAM and we still do. And so we pretty much were always able to keep up with the performance that we needed using a really, really lightweight architecture. I mean, it blows people's minds that we're running like a billion page views a month, and we're doing that on a web tier which consists of 10 web servers and one SQL server. And the 10 web servers are running at about 5% CPU for the most part. And you know, the SQL Server, it is a clustered machine. And there's another one for the Stack Exchange Network, which is running the all the sites besides Stack Overflow. And you know, there's a bunch of auxiliary servers doing little things. And we would kind of improvise. Like one of the cool things about our platform is that at some point, in order to kind of relieve the stress on the single SQL Server, we put a caching layer in front of that. And I think that was Redis, where we just literally took the SQL query, the string of that, and push it through Redis and cache those. So most of the SQL queries don't even make it all the way downstream to the SQL Server. And it was just like a little jury-rigged thing that worked great. But for us, it was always about having really, really fast performance. We really wanted the web pages to come up instantaneously. We wanted the lowest possible latency we could ever get for people. And that was sort of step one. And then step two was we didn't have a lot of money to go out and buy 9,000 servers or to rent who knows you know how many data centers.
Colo back then to run. Was ridiculous.
Yeah, and also it's just so much easier. You know, you can always decide, do you want a shard? And then as a developer, you want to write some kind of code to figure out how you're going to run this thing on, you know, 97 different databases. Or can we just throw everything on one database and just scale it up as appropriate?
So it was more of like a pragmatic and practical thing. Sure. Like, I know this, I'll do this.
Yeah.
And it just worked out.
Yeah.
So there's got to be a story when you and your partner were like, holy cow, this is a lot bigger than we thought.
There is one sort of interesting story. I very, very early on, I'll tell a bunch of these stories.
Let's hear
it. Story number one was literally the day that it launched. So this was, I'm guessing, August, maybe 4th, 2008. Sometime around there. I was on vacation. And this was in the day before smartphones. I had like a feature phone that had a really crappy web browser. And Jeff Atwood called me up and said, all right, it's live. Try it out. And we sent out the link to, I don't remember who, but I think maybe we both blogged about it or something. Sure. So a few people saw it. And so I logged on and I'm like, all right, I know, this is tough because I'm using this feature phone with a, it was a
you gotta push
Nokia
9 6 times to get the letter W.
Yep. And I thought, I'm going to ask a question. I know it's tough, but I'm going to ask a question. And I tried to think of the last programming problem I had had. And that was the question I was going to ask. I start typing it, and there's this feature in Stack Overflow where after you type the title of a question, it looks to see if anything kind of matches the keywords and suggests some other possible answers that are already there. And lo and behold, somebody within the first 24 hours had already asked this question. And I kind of clicked on that. And indeed, somebody had asked the question that I was about to ask, and it had already gotten four answers. And the answers had already gotten votes, and the best answer had already been voted to the top. So every feature of Stack Overflow had already happened even before I could look at it. And I was sort of amazed at how quickly this had happened. You know, we were expecting it would take weeks to get answers and to get people kind of involved. And that was really cool. And I called up the team then. And by this point, it was Jeff, and Jared. There were three developers on the team.
Just all J's, man.
Yeah.
What are you guys doing?
No, Jeff is with a G, sorry.
Oh, okay.
I called them up and said, you guys, you built the thing that every programmer is going to use. This is going to be like compilers or editors. It's going to be a thing that every developer uses constantly. And they said, no, it isn't. That's ridiculous. That's crazy. You're absolutely crazy. But a few months later, I don't remember the exact date of this, but we went to a Mix conference. Those of you that are old enough to remember, Microsoft used to have conferences in Meatspace in Las Vegas. It was fantastic. And the Mix conference, we went, and Scott Gu brought us up on stage for some reason. I don't remember why. And I said, hey, you guys, anybody use Stack Overflow? And it was like one third of the audience raised their hands. And before that, Jeff Atwood was saying, don't ask that question. It's going to be really embarrassing. They're going to be like, what's that? It's going to, you know, we'll just introduce it. It's okay, Joel. One third of them sort of already raised their hand. And I'm like, this is going pretty well. And that was the last time I could ask that question without getting uproarious laughter. Because right now, if you go to developers and say, does anybody use Stack Overflow? Or anybody use Stack Overflow? They're like, anybody use Gravity? Gravity?
Yeah.
Electricity?
Have you fallen on your face before and then picked yourself up? That's what Stack Overflow does.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing because, I mean, there's got to be code bases around the world that have solved particular problems by looking at Stack Overflow.
Sure. Oh, yeah, everyone. My God, yeah.
And how does that feel? Because for programmers...
I mean, our assumption is that every developer uses it, because I still have yet to find a developer that doesn't land there once in a while. And we think it's about 6 times a month on average for sort of the average developer in the world.
And the interesting thing as programmers is that when we put a program out, they're like our babies. And we're like, okay, you better behave out there. And there's got to be times where your baby did not behave. There's got to be some good stories about that.
Yeah. Stack Overflow has actually been pretty good. I mean, building the community has been sort of a trick. We had a little bit of a scare right as we were, just as we finished building our second emergency backup data center, like really the week before we had finally tested it and we knew that we could fail over the emergency backup data center, which the main data center was in New York. The emergency backup data center was in Oregon, and Hurricane Sandy hit. And Hurricane Sandy flooded downtown Manhattan, including the building that our data center was in. And although the generator, the emergency generator for our data center was on the 17th floor of the building, so it was safe, due to some weird regulation, the fuel tank was underground. And the fuel tank got flooded by seawater in Hurricane Sandy. So we literally had teams of people, along with the other company was in the same data center, was Squarespace. And Fog Creek was there as well, and a couple of other smaller companies. We all sent down, you know, everybody went down to the data center with buckets, and I'm sure that it's, I don't know how many codes and union regulations and fire codes we broke. And we just started, somebody found a fuel truck to bring diesel fuel for our generator, and we started just walking it up and down 17 flights of stairs to keep the generator running, to keep Stack Overflow up during the middle of Hurricane Sandy. There's no electricity for weeks in that building.
How did that get resolved? I mean, were you just literally carrying gasoline up the stairs every
day? For a few days. Eventually, the landlord got a pump installed so we could just pump the fuel up to the 17th floor, and finally brought in, I think there were backup generators that they brought in. But we were kind of lucky in that the backup data center seemed to be running okay. And so we just sort of switched over the backup data center for Stack Overflow on that weekend. And so we were running out of Oregon for a while in the backup data center. In the meantime, though, I mean, we kept Fogbugs running. Trello is also running in that data center. And we had a 12-week plan to move it to AWS. We did that in 12 hours instead of 12 weeks.
That's amazing. So tell me a little bit about, because the thing about Stack Overflow that's interesting to me is that the community is so vibrant. Did you see like the community start out a certain way and then sort of morphed into something else? Tell us about that.
A little bit. I mean, the community designed the community for themselves. And I really think about these projects, it's a little bit crazy, but I think about it like anthropology. Like I got a bunch of people there, and if I change the code in this particular way, all the people are going to go over here and do that thing. And if I change the code that way, all the people go over here and do that thing. And you really have to pay attention to that and make sure that they build a community that does the thing that you want. One of the things and the thing that we want is actually sort of a larger formula, which I should talk about, which is this idea of learn, share your knowledge, and level up. So learn, you go to Stack Overflow to learn answers to questions. We have documentation. We have all kinds of, got the Stack Overflow podcast. It's all about learning as a developer, but it's also about sharing your knowledge. And through the process of learning and sharing your knowledge, you level up to sort of the next stage in your career. So we have Stack Overflow Careers. Well, we'll get you a better job and essentially use your reputation on Stack Overflow to find employers that are looking for exactly the people that know the things that you know and get you leveled up to the next job. But it may just be something simple. Maybe it's not a new job, but just like learning a new profession. If you want to learn a new skill, you want to learn Python programming or something, go to Stack Overflow, find some Python questions and answer them. Help the people that are asking simple questions in Python, you know, sit down and do that as sort of a problem. Even through answering questions, you can kind of level up to the next point in your career. So that's kind of the anthropology of what's going on.
I love the fact that you started with Stack Overflow, but it became something a little bit bigger. Talk about Stack Exchange and then a little bit more about careers. And I've heard, and you tell me if I'm wrong, I've heard you're moving into things like docs.
Yeah. So, it is sort of kind of ever expanding. The first thing that happened in 2008 was Stack Overflow. And we kind of thought it would really kind of cover all IT/coding topics. But the community itself said, nah, this should really be just programming questions. Like, I don't want to get, like, how do I, you know, reinstall Service Pack 7.36. They wanted it to be specifically for developers. And so we launched a second and a third site. Those were Server Fault and Super User. And Server Fault was all about the IT questions, like how do I get servers to work for professional IT people, not like, you know, your home Wi-Fi router. Yeah. And Super User was really for those help desk people, the kind of, I shouldn't say help desk, but the people that handle kind of internal IT questions inside organizations, right, and that are, you know, doing sort of device driver questions for, you know, Windows, you know, how do I find the right device driver for my monitor or whatever, those kinds of questions. And so we built those sites ourselves, and we thought, hey, there's going to be a bunch of other things that people want to ask questions about, and, you know, maybe gadgets, like something for, you know, phones or something like that. But around about 2010, we realized, you know what, let's just let the community decide what sites they want to build. We created this site called Area 51, where you go and you say, I am interested in talking about, it's still there, it still works, and you say, I am interested in talking about, and it's usually a content management system, but I don't know. The latest site that we set up is Esperanto, the language Esperanto.
The rule of all, yes.
Yes. And like I said, it's an artificial language that's supposed to be this universal form of communication that everybody can learn and then communicate with each other in a kind of a neutral, you know, non-vendor specific language, so to speak. This is human language.
Yeah,
yeah, but there's like no individual vendor other than the Esperanto people. So they set up a, there were enough people that were sort of interested in asking and answering questions about Esperanto. And so they all kind of went and said, hey, we're interested. And eventually, once we get enough people, we'll create the site. And so through that process, we've created, I think, about 160 sites.
Wow.
On different topics now, and that's called Stack Exchange. And that's a little bit bigger than Stack Overflow. Stack Overflow is 40 million monthly uniques. Stack Exchange is 100 million, including Stack Overflow.
Wow.
So it's a pretty big network now.
And I've gone in there, and I've, like, because my background is machine learning, data science, you know, linear algebra, statistics. There are some questions that are answered there so powerfully regarding math, regarding machine
math
learning.
Math is probably our second biggest topic. Outside, like once you get out of IT, the math sites, there's four or five sites, depending on what you count as math. But there's two math sites. There's Math Overflow, which is research level mathematics.
Yeah, it's great.
There's the Math Stack Exchange, which is just regular math questions. But it really feels like it's mostly college level and graduate level mathematics on the Math Stack Exchange. There's Theoretical Computer Science, which is sort of mathy.
It's great.
There's Tech and LaTeX, which is the language that you would use to write a math document.
And you need help with that because holy
that
cow.
Is obscure. I hate like having to compile my word processing documents. It's very difficult.
Yeah, I spent the majority of the beginning of my graduate work figuring out LaTeX.
Yeah, LaTeX is great.
This is crazy.
I learned it because it was the only way to get a laser printer when I was in college.
Nice.
If you could write something in LaTeX, you could use a laser printer.
Nice.
And you know, and some other things that are a little bit off, you know, sort of machine learning and that kind of stuff. Statistics, that kind of stuff is all on Stack Overflow. And I think right now, if I'm not mistaken, I believe our number two site in terms of the number of questions might be the math, the main math Stack Exchange. So that's one of the biggest fields that Stack Overflow is great at.
So let's get into careers. I know you briefly touched on it. Why don't you describe it a little bit further for those that are interested?
Sure. So the idea behind Stack Overflow was always, you know, let's make a site with questions and answers. How are you going to pay for it? The idea was always this idea that there's a lot of demand for software developers, and if we have a big enough audience for software developers, then we can go to the recruiters at companies that are looking to hire software developers and essentially offer them the ability to advertise to those developers,
right,
like job offers. So it's not really like come buy something from us, it's come work for us and take our money. And so I thought that was a really kind of a nice symbiotic idea. So we have, not only do we have a bunch of developers, we have all the developers, we have them at work when they're not looking for jobs. And so recruiters will come to us and say, I'm looking to fill these particular jobs, these particular locations, and we can actually run little job listings, which you've probably seen on the side on Stack Overflow, you may not have noticed, that are very, very highly targeted based on the type of questions you're looking at, the tags that you're interested in. And then you can actually make a profile on Stack Overflow where you put up your normal resume stuff, like here's where I worked and here's where I went to school. But more importantly than that, we're rolling out a developer story in a couple of days. I'm probably allowed to talk about this, but the developer story lets you add all kinds of other information to your Stack Overflow profile about things that you've built and blog posts you've written and conferences that you attended and books that you read that you thought were interesting and any kind of information that you kind of want to gather together and put it in our database that we will show to the hiring managers, essentially, and to the companies that want to hire developers, sort of like a developer profile, a little bit more than just a resume, but actually, you know, here's some of your work. And one of the things I noticed, which is as a person that hires developers all the time, is if you can give me five answers that somebody has written on Stack Overflow, I know more about them than I'll get from a day of interviews.
Or an afternoon of FizzBuzz.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
It gets you way past that point. And really, at that point, I'll interview somebody based on you know, if I found somebody and I've seen the work that they've done on Stack Overflow, sometimes even asking questions, because even there you can kind of show that yeah. you're sort of a smart developer, and you realize, yeah, this person's definitely world class, and then you just gotta have to sort of make sure that they're not an axe murderer. But you so you yeah. may still want to do a little interview, but you don't need the full day of intense interviews. And I think that idea really resonated well when we went to companies that were hiring developers, which is everyone.
Yeah.
And we said, hey, Stack Overflow, we've got all the world's developers. We will help you find the exact right ones for your positions. That worked out really well, and we've built a great business on that.
I think for me as a developer, you know, I understand that these things have to get paid for, right? You mm-hmm. have to pay for your server. You have to pay for your electricity. You have to pay for yeah. your programmers.
Yeah. We have a pastry chef.
My goodness. I like the way that you decided to... The way that you're going to pay for it is still going to help developers in the end,
yeah.
which is really cool.
That's something that's really interesting is we actually have other than the careers, which obviously helps developers get better jobs, level up in their career, it even helps the people that aren't looking for jobs on the site because when you ask a question, the people that answer your question are sort of thinking in the back of their head, one day an employer is going to look at this and decide whether or not to hire me. And right. so their behavior on Stack Overflow is more civil. Because
like
of that kind of element. And so even a person that is not benefiting directly from their jobs available here is benefiting indirectly from the fact that that we've got that particular business model. And so that's always been our idea, is to try to find something that benefits everybody when it happens, rather than something where it's kind of like we're making money on the backs of the developers yeah. in some way.
And I like the fact, because the internet can be a kind of an abusive place.
Mm-hmm.
It's good that you've found a way to self-check.
A little bit, yeah. Like, we do try, people on the internet will be terse.
Yeah.
That's a nice way of putting
terse.
It. We have a very complex system of moderation. We have moderators, we have flags. And as people earn reputation on Stack Overflow, they earn the ability to sort of moderate things and kind of control things that are going on. And that means that the behavior on Stack Overflow is relatively highly regulated. It's not, no offense, it's not a free speech zone.
Yeah.
Like, this is not a place where I make sure that you have a right to abuse other people. And so, you know, our moderators mostly want people to kind of stay on topic. That said, the community itself is very strict about making sure that what happens on Stack Overflow is asking questions and writing answers in the format that we think will be useful to people who show up later. So if you ask a question and you haven't done your homework, somebody's going to call you out on that.
Yeah.
If you actually say hi, we do get an awful lot of this. It's like, hi, I've been hired as a programmer, but I do not actually know how to program. Here's the assignment my boss gave me. Please do it for me.
We get those questions.
Yeah. They'll just get closed. And you know, it's not our job to maintain, you know, your right to ask every possible question. It's
sure.
our job to make sure that the questions that stay on the site and get answers are going to be useful to those people that find that in the search results when they go and they Google that question.
So we've talked about Stack Overflow, we talked about Stack Exchange, we mm-hmm. talked about careers. Tell us a little bit about the docs stuff that you're going to be doing.
Yeah, so the new feature that we sort of launched, it's already there. It's kind of, I think we're calling it a beta, it's a documentation beta. It's this idea, it's really example-oriented documentation. And the source of the idea is that, you know, every once in a while somebody will ask a question on Stack Overflow and they'll get this brilliant answer, often written by, you know, some of the people that you may have heard of, John Skeet, Eric Lippert
yeah.
here. People will write these beautiful answers that almost feels like, my God, this should be an essay. Every programmer should read this.
Yeah.
Or it's a kind of a canonical source of knowledge that everybody should sort of consult. But that mostly happened by accident sometimes when you were lucky and it was sort of hard to find those
yeah.
things. And we said, you know what, there is, you know, we have whatever number of millions of questions on Stack Overflow with their detailed answers. And that's one type of very, very narrow knowledge. But there's also the much broader knowledge that people have out there that doesn't really have a place on Stack Overflow. And it may or may not have shown up in the official documentation that whoever put out, whatever vendor put out for their product. And so that was really the space that documentation was meant to engage, which is like, let's gather some stuff. And the more we thought about documentation, the more we said, when I want documentation for how to do something, what I want is a recipe and I want code. I want example
yeah.
code that shows me how to use this API. And in fact, that's usually the weakness of almost all of the vendor documentation and the stuff that you get, no offense, from Microsoft or from whoever.
No, I don't take offense on the programmer.
Is, hey, I want to do something, but just show me, could you please give me like three examples here, because just telling me what the 27 arguments to create process X in Win32 are, it's not going to help me. I just want to see sample code to do the simple thing. And that's what people are coming to Stack Overflow for anyway, is a little tiny piece of code they can cut and paste and modify to meet their needs. So documentation was sort of a reinvention of this user-collaborated, user-generated documentation on every topic in the world, with a big focus and big emphasis on just providing examples that work and then describing them.
That's awesome, right? And look, I mean, in all fairness, as a coder, like the last thing I want to do is write docs, let's be honest. So that's probably why some of the best code, maybe not.
Yeah.
And it's cool that you're providing a space where it almost becomes self-documenting because
the community can come along and write it. And I think that's what's going to happen increasingly, because the coders that have written something that they need to document, it's just a homework assignment for them to document it. They hate doing that. Even the companies like Microsoft have put out a new tool, and then they have brilliant document writers that go write the documentation. But honestly, that's a cost center, right? That's like can we get down the cost somehow of writing this documentation? Let's just get it done. Let's do what we can do and get it out the door. But kind of harnessing the collective energy of the developers of the world that really want to explain something, that want to contribute to some documentation, and then putting it out there in a wiki format where it's like anybody that wants to contribute to this documentation can contribute, anybody can modify it, anybody can add their own example code, can create something I think that's much better than what documentation used to be for developers. So my dream, my hope is that what we'll do for documentation, what we did for the Q&A space.
That's awesome. It's like a Q&A is like feels like it's little bits, and you want to up level now to docs, which is more holistic over a particular set of problems.
Exactly, exactly.
This is awesome. So what can we see in the future from you?
Wow, well, I don't know. I'm not that good at the vision of the future.
He's like, let me get my crystal ball up in here and put it on the table.
The two things, like documentation obviously is something that's just sort of just beginning. The developer stories are launching right now, and so you can go onto your Stack Overflow profile when is this airing, actually?
Oh, whenever you tell me to.
Whenever we tell you to? Okay.
Yeah.
Within the next few days, we're actually going to be launching the developer story, and that's the ability to literally go add your story to your Stack Overflow profile.
For careers.
For careers purposes, and just also just for kind of advertising to other developers, here's who I am, here's what I know, here's what I'm good at. Contact me if you're interested in this kind of stuff, and it's just kind of a way to have a profile online. Those are sort of some of the biggest things that are coming down the pipeline, but there's a lot of little stuff coming up too.
I love the way Stack Overflow strips away any pretense of anything, and it comes down to what's the problem.
Yep.
What's the solution?
Yeah. There's no conversation.
And it's been helping. Like for programmers, it's great. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, woman, whatever.
Yeah.
It's just, it is what it is. And I think that's the greatest thing about your platform.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for spending some time with us, bud.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
We have been learning all about Stack Overflow and the history of it, where it's going, what it's doing. I know you're looking at Stack Overflow. Make sure to send them thanks if you can.
My name is Seth. Raise your hand if you already have a Stack Overflow window open right now on your desktop.
Thanks so much, Joel, for being with us. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time. Take care.